Matthew chapter number 6. That's unusual, isn't it? We've been saying Matthew 5 for quite a while, but we're now into chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Matthew chapter 6 is primarily, well, let's say this, a majority of Matthew chapter 6 is talking about giving. I know people, pastors talk about giving. Well, it's in the text, so we're going to talk about giving. Over the next few weeks, there's going to be a lot of that. But he starts with three major parts of, really, our Christian walk, though many people would not consider them three significant parts. The first he talks about is almsgiving. That is primarily charity. That's what he's really talking about, giving to someone who has a need. The second is prayer, and the third is fasting. And in those, he is really dealing with people's motives in doing those things. That's really the underlying thought here. And then he ends the chapter again from verse 19 on, really talking about where you're going to lay your treasure, what kind of giving are you going to do in the process. I think as we think this morning, we can see this central idea. Giving to others should be a priority, but you must do so with a pure motive. This week as I was studying, I looked out there to see, okay, by the way, the title of my message is Tooting Your Own Horn, which is what he's talking about here. So I thought, oh, I wonder, that's an interesting expression. I wonder where it came from and what's some of the background of it. And so I did it, you know, the Google search. Interesting things came up about this thing. Number one, there's a book out there. The title of the book is Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It. That's the title of the book. I'm not kidding. I can't make this stuff up. Here's the little, you know, the little blurb about it. The renowned communication experts, subtle. I mean, you're talking about tooting your own horn. That's pretty much, well, they're good at it, I guess. But effective plan for selling your best asset, yourself, without turning off those you're trying to impress. So lay it on, just not too thick, because they might turn you off, you know, if you're not careful. Amazing. This idea where Jesus says, do not sound a trumpet before thee. The idea of a horn is the trumpet. You know that. Got some musical ability in here. Even those of you that didn't have musical ability probably could figure that out. One who's blowing his own horn is making a fanfare about himself. One particular dictionary says, that's usually more appropriate left to someone else. Well, okay, that's true. The Bible says, let another man praise thee. But this idea is that they would hire a heralder to go before them. So they're not doing it, but they're hiring somebody else to do it. I don't think that's what we're trying to get across either. As I said, Jesus starts this chapter dealing with motives in those areas. Probably if I ask you this morning to name me some pretty important ingredients of the Christian life, most of you would have named prayer fairly quickly. Maybe a few more of you would have added fasting. But I doubt seriously many people would have added in their list almsgiving. But Jesus makes it a priority. We're going to look a little bit later on. It's not just here that it's a priority, but it's a priority in other areas. It's also a priority in other major religions. Some of them significantly so. Let me give you one. Muhammad taught his followers this, that prayer would carry a man halfway to paradise. Fasting would bring him to its gates, and almsgiving would gain him admittance. Now you say, you're trying to lift that up. No, I'm just trying to tell you that many other, you study the Catholic religion, these three things are very prominent there. Okay, what does that have to do with us? Well, I think the Lord is trying to tell us that we are to give to others. Not just giving in a local church context, tithes and offerings and so forth, but beyond that, to actually caring for those people who are poor. And we've seen that already a number of places as we move through chapter 5. It is a priority in the Word of God to care for those who are less fortunate. This is a great message right before Thanksgiving scavenger hunt, right? Get your food in, amen, that you're supposed to be given. But it is biblical, no question about that. So let's look at this morning and make some application to our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need you this morning. We can not do anything of eternal value apart from you. You're the vine, we're just the branch. And so I pray this morning that you would flow through us. May you help us to say exactly what needs to be said. May your people respond the way you want them to respond. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to look at, first off, the importance of giving. The importance of giving. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. There's no real statement here about the importance of giving. It's made in the fact that Jesus assumes automatically that you will give and therefore tells you how to do it. He assumes that he doesn't need to tell you that you are to give to the poor, but that you're going to give to the poor. And since you're going to give to the poor, let me tell you how you're supposed to carry that out. He says, take heed that you do not your alms before men. Alms, if some of you have a reference in your Bible, may say your righteousness. That is the idea, but in context and expanded a little bit, it means charity or mercy or pity or donation to the poor. That's the idea that the text is talking about. And the importance of giving wasn't just seen in this text. Jesus emphasized it multiple times to his disciples. Let me read a couple of verses for you. Luke chapter 11 and verse 41. But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. So Jesus says, make sure that you give to the poor. We know that when Jesus was on this earth, he did a lot of things. Matter of fact, John tells us we couldn't write all the things that he did. But we know one of the parts that is talked about quite frequently is the giving to the poor. Judas carried the bag. And what was that bag primarily for? Was giving to the poor. Yeah. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 33, it says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. It's interesting, as we get to the latter part of chapter 6 in Matthew, he deals with that again, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In the Luke passage, he connects that directly to those giving to the poor. So, when you give specific things to the poor, a bag of potatoes, a dessert, whatever you're doing this week, and I appreciate always our people giving so much. In past years, we've given 600, 700, 800 pounds of food to people. Jesus says directly that when you do that, you are actually making a deposit in heaven. And that deposit cannot be corrupted. That's a pretty powerful thought when you put all those together. Not only was it important to the disciples, but it was important to the early church. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 10, there was a lame man laid at the temple gate, and he was asking alms. That's the way he made his living. And Peter and them were there, and what did they do? They didn't give him the alms, but they gave him something better. Told him, how about we heal you? And they did. But that almsgiving was a part of what they were to do. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, there was Tabitha, if you remember that, was died. And the main thing that the early church there seems to emphasize about Tabitha was what she did for others. Matter of fact, it says all her alms deeds that she did for other. Her character seemed to be that. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. The woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Verse 39 of that same chapter says, then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. The early church seems to be emphasizing to Peter, look what she does for poor people. She deserves another chance to live. Will you raise her from the dead? And by the way, Peter did so and is brought back to her. Look at Acts chapter 10, if you would please, for me. This was a really interesting text this week. Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. Verse 1 tells us that we're talking about Cornelius, a man that was an incredible man. In verse 2, it says, a devout man, one that feareth God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. God said, the reason that I'm going to send you more revelation is not just because you were praying, but you were giving. That to me is a very powerful passage to say the Lord took notice of that. And we know that eventually he got a message to Peter. Peter, I want you to go preach this guy, even though he's a Gentile. Peter goes with them, the Bible says, and in the room he has other disciples from the Jerusalem church. He's preaching the word of God. The Holy Spirit falls on them, and all of the Jewish believers go, like, what is happening? This is shocking. You mean Gentiles can be saved as well? That's what happens as a result of this. What brought God's attention was this man prayed and gave alms. Powerful, I think. In Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, it says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me Barnabas, me and Barnabas, the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcised. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do. Now, when you think about James, Cephas, and John, they're talking to Paul and Barnabas here. And of all the things they could say to them, we want you to remember the poor. We want you to make sure you're giving to the poor. Doesn't that strike you as odd? That here are these men who are great pillars of the church, there's all kinds of things they could have said to them. Hey, don't forget about this. As you go to the Gentiles, don't forget about this, or don't forget about that, or emphasize this. But they chose to emphasize the giving to the poor. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, right next to persecution is giving to the poor. It illustrates that. If you do that and you have not love, you're empty. Time would fail us this morning to talk about the extensive treatment in the Old Testament about taking care of the poor. Giving to the poor was a priority to Jesus and the early church. I think it should be for us as well. How important is it to you to give to others? Are you looking to try to share the wealth that God has given you? We are indeed a wealthy people. The importance of giving. But number two, the intention of giving. He says here, take heed. That word means to bring near, to pay attention to. Make sure you pay attention that you do not your alms before men. Don't make a public show of your giving. If you do, you have no rewards of your Father which is in heaven. That which God is going to bestow upon you, your reward is gone because you made a show of it. So Jesus is not saying you shouldn't give. We are to give. That's a priority. But he is saying the motive by which you give is critically important. And matter of fact, makes a difference as to whether or not you're genuinely laying up treasure in heaven or not. So in other words, you could give to the poor, have a motive of being recognized by men, and that is your reward. That's it, the totality of it. You didn't lay up anything in heaven. What you got is what you're going to get. So the intention of giving. What is your intention for giving? Why do you give? If that giving is so that others will see, then that seeing by others is all you get. That's it. So enjoy it. Number three, the instruction for giving. He then amplifies this and says, therefore, because of this, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. There is their motive. By the way, we don't have to guess their motive. God tells us their motive. So we're not saying, well, I think that person gave that for this. Lord's telling us. This is what their motive was. They didn't give to help the poor. They didn't give to be obedient to Scripture. They gave so that men would glory in them. That was the purpose of their giving. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. The instructions for giving. Let's look first at the negative aspect of it. Nowhere in Scripture or even in ancient times do we have an event actually recorded where someone used a trumpet before them and before they were given. So this apparently was an idiom that was already in use. It certainly is one that's at least some facsimile thereof today is used. It may be referring to the trumpet-shaped offering bowls that were in the temple, the synagogues. They actually looked like trumpets, and people would cast in their money into that. You remember specifically in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, Jesus is looking as they cast in money, and the widow cast in two mites, which would have sounded very unimpressive as it went into these treasuries. Compared to what we think happened, it seems to be the indication that these men, if they were to give a sum of money, they would change it in for large bags so that when it poured in there, it made all this huge noise and hit the bottom. Everybody like, whoa, that was a big offering. That was the point. That was what they were trying to do. But then when the widow lady, she came by and it went, tink. Everybody was like, Jesus said, she's given more than they all because she gave all. They just gave out of their abundance. It's almost humorous to me when you hear an NFL player who's making $40 million a year, and he says something like this: every touchdown I score, I'm going to give $100 to such and such relief. And everybody's like, oh, wow, that's incredible. I'm thinking, really? That's about 0.1% of his income, and you're going to pat him on the back for that? Really? I'm glad they're giving, by the way. I'm not begrudging that. I'm just saying, why are we doing that? Hypocrites, Jesus continuously did them, didn't he? The pretender, the stage player. You get the idea that as these guys, and I know some of this wouldn't have been written, this music wouldn't have been written, but you kind of get the idea that as these guys got ready to go give, all right, let's say Steve Hefner needs some food, all right? So as he gets ready to go, I need a couple guys. Come on up here. Let's you two guys here, come on up here, all right? So here we go. Steve Hefner needs some money for Thanksgiving. You're not getting it now, but that's fine, all right? So, yeah, that's right. All right, so here's what we do. We're going to go give Steve money. Well, I'm going to give him money. Okay, you guys are just, you're just going to help me. So here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to walk before me here, and I want you to tell everybody in this room what I'm doing. Like, can you do that? Can you guys do that? Can you do that? Okay, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's do it. Well, get to talking. Hey, I paid you for something. Yeah, I'm going to give to him. That's who I'm going to give to. Yep, that's what's going to happen. You know, that's his. Yep, there you go, brother. That's the idea of this passage. Or maybe they would record, you know, maybe they had this, you know, karaoke machine or something. I know they weren't back then. I'm just saying, you know. And it'd be, you know, here you go, brother. Hey, that's good. That's the idea of the passage. That's what Jesus is describing. And he says the guys who are giving under those circumstances are hypocrites. You can sit down. That's good. In other words, I could care less about Steve. I could care less that he has a need. I could care less that I'm going to meet that need. What I'm really concerned about is that you are impressed with me giving to Steve. Whether Steve's needs are met, I don't care. Doesn't make a difference to me at all. That's what Jesus is really dealing with here. And he says, hey, that's the wrong reason to give. We got to be careful. He says, don't do it in the synagogues. Don't do it in the streets. No matter where you do it, don't do it. It's interesting here. It says, they have their reward. That statement means they have a formal receipt. They're paid. It's done. That's all they're going to get. Hey, you know, you get a receipt that says paid in full, or yes, you got your product, or whatever it may be. That's what they're going to get. It says if that very praise was the formal receipt, okay, you're done. That act is no longer remembered. Jesus said that if a subtle desire to be seen of men runs through your doing of religious things, then the deed dies with the moment. There is no lasting quality. You wanted the praise of men, you got it. That settles the account. There is no reward with your Heavenly Father. Another author says you cannot be rewarded by men and God. Take your choice. Another one says their charity was no charity. For what they did was not to give, but to buy. They weren't giving. They were buying the praise of men. So the negative. What about the positive? How do I give then? All right, what are these verses really telling me? How do I give without this hand knowing what this hand's doing? I mean, do I tie it behind my back? I mean, what exactly is the Lord saying there? Is he saying that there's never an occasion when someone should know? Okay, remember, he is primarily dealing with motive. Motive. There are going to be times when people are going to know that you gave. No way around that. Maybe a neighbor is in need of some food or something like that, and you hear about it, and you and your family take over and said, hey, we heard that you had a difficulty. Maybe their house burnt down and you took. It's going to be impossible for them not to know where that came from. That's not the point that he's necessarily dealing with. He's saying, what is your motive for that giving? The real question then is motive. Now let's look at a couple of texts, and we're just going to quickly move through these. So if you'll listen to me. Romans chapter 12 and verse 8 says, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That word means a sincerity. A mental honesty. A mental honesty. The virtue of one who is free from pretense and hypocrisy. Not self-seeking. An openness of heart manifesting genuine or generosity. Manifesting itself by generosity. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. We know that verse in context of faith promise giving. It is talking about giving, no question. That word liberality there, same Greek word as simplicity. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Same word, bountifulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. Same word. So God is telling us that we can be as liberal as we want to be. We can be as bountiful as we want to be. when we do so in simplicity, when we give to others. That's what God's telling us. Well, it brings up some questions in our mind. How do I obey Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, your Father which is in heaven"? Well, wait a minute. How can I do things privately and yet let others see my good works? How does that work? Do we have a contradiction here? I love what one guy said. Listen to this. This is one of those you got to grasp a hold of, but it is powerful. He says, "Show when tempted to hide, hide when tempted to show." Can I say that again? Show when tempted to hide, hide when tempted to show. In other words, there are times when we should do things openly. Typically, those things are things we don't want to do openly. There are things that we want to do openly that we ought to be hiding what's really happening here. So he's not saying here, "Hey, by the way, don't let anybody see you witness." That'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? You awake this morning? And wouldn't it be kind of hard to witness somebody and nobody else know what about it? I mean, hello. There's somebody else standing there. You're a little slow this morning. Are you bountiful in your giving? Are you liberal when it comes to your giving? Are you self-seeking? "Well, I'll give this so that they'll think this." Are you generous? Lastly, the investment of giving. He says in verse 4, "That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." Investment is, we typically, when we think of an investment, we think of money. The investment of money or capital in order to gain profitable returns as interest or income or appreciated value, something along those lines. And that's certainly true. And I believe as we lay up treasure in heaven, God is referring to that. I think God's going to abundantly meet your needs when you give to others. I don't think that ought to be our primary motive for giving, but I think it's a byproduct. But investment also can be a devoting, a using, or a giving of time, talent, emotional energy as for a purpose or to achieve something. An investment. How will the Lord reward us? He says he will reward us openly. In other words, God is going to make it manifest. Now, does that mean that you're going to have your manifest here? No. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 24 and 25 makes that clear. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. I think we're going to get to heaven and figure out there was a whole lot of giving going on by people that nobody ever knew because of the way they give. Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Remember, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus. He makes the claim that he has obeyed every point of the law. Now, you and I know biblically he could not have done that. But nevertheless, he makes that claim. Jesus, rather than dealing with that, deals with really a heart issue that's a part of this young man. And Jesus says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I love that. And said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up your cross and follow me." Again, I think it shows a priority. In this particular young man's life, that was the area he was struggling with. The Bible tells us what? He went away sorrowful, for he had great riches. Wasn't willing to share those with others. Wasn't willing to invest in others. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 21. "Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." We'll spend some more time on this later, but I think it applies to this as well. John Wesley said this, "I judge all things only by the price they shall gain in eternity." Pretty powerful statement. Randy Alcorn, in his little book, The Treasure Principle, makes this statement, "Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. God preserves it, and it's never going away." In what this morning are you investing? We are coming to a time of year when there's ample opportunity to give to others, people who do not have what we have. And we do have an abundance. The poorest of you in this room, and I'm not making light of that. I'm sure there are people here that are genuinely struggling. But I can tell you the poor of us in this room have it far greater than the majority of the world. What kind of return are you expecting? It'll make a difference on what kind of return you will get. Is giving to others a priority to you? Is it something that you've kind of pushed to the back of your mind, or is it something that is a priority to you? I can tell you, before I studied these texts in Matthew 5 and 6, I don't think I could have said that giving to others was a priority. I think if it presented itself, I would do it, but to make it a priority, I don't know that I would have said that. But I can tell you, based on this text, I think Jesus is saying it is a priority. Do you do so with a pure motive? How's your fanfare this morning? You know, the one in your heart. What's really happening? Maybe this morning you're not a guy that would hire a bunch of good-looking guys to boast about what you're doing. Maybe you're a person that wouldn't hire a trumpeter to go before you. That would seem vain. But down deep inside, the reason you gave is because you wanted someone to pat you on the back. So you may not have publicly blown the trumpet, but your motives were just what Jesus is dealing with in this text. Why do you give? In this context, to others particularly, and what we would call charity or whatever. Jesus says, take heed, watch carefully how you give. Father, thank you for this text of Scripture. I'm grateful that you continuously hone us in, that we be more like you. We're always further away from you than we think we are. We keep getting reminded from Scripture passages just how short we fall of what you want for us. Lord, help us with our motives. Sometimes our motives pops up before we can even deal with it, and it's like, I don't want to think that way. Help us to think the way you want us to think. May we give for your glory, not for ours. May we lay up treasure in heaven and let you deal with ever how you want to choose to reward. That's your business. Verse 4 tells us that. May we do so with a cheerful heart. And we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.